I must go now.
The face of the old gaze housekeeper faded. Slowly, his feet hardly touching the floor, Matthias travelled a long corridor. At its end were two figures. He halted by the first figure, unable to distinguish who it was, but feeling an aura of friendly kinship emanating from it. Matthias looked at the second figure. Here was something he had never before encountered. It had neither arms nor legs. With a hissing sound, the spectral thing opened wide its mouth. Inside, there were two sharp fangs and a flickering tongue which quivered and turned into a sword. With a cry of joy, the young mouse started running forward, only to be restrained by the phantom figure of the first apparition. Matthias was not surprised to see that it was Martin, the warrior.
Martin! Why do you stop me from getting the sword?
Martin's voice was warm and friendly.
Matthias, I am that is. Stay. Beware of Asmodeus.
Martin took hold of Matthias' shoulder. The young mouse tried to wrench himself free.
Let me go, Martin! I fear no creature that lives!
Martin tightened his hold relentlessly upon Matthias' shoulder. Pain shot through him like a red-hot lance. Martin cried out,
Hold him still now! Hold him still!
The agony increased. Matthias' eyes snapped open.
Hold him still now! Hold him still!
It was the Father Abbot. He was saying the same words as Martin had said. Brother Alf held tight to Matthias' shoulder as the abbot dug deep with a probe. He extracted a dark pointed object, which he tossed into a bowl that Cornflower was holding.
Ouch! That hurt, Father!
The abbot wiped his paws upon a clean cloth.
Well, my son, you are back with us at last. That must have hurt. There was half a sparrow's beak lodged in your shoulder.
Matthias blinked and looked about.
Hello, Cornflower. You see, I got back in one piece. Oh, hello, Brother Alf. I say, is that Basil in the next bed?
Hush now, Matthias, and lie still. You're lucky to be alive. It was touch and go right through the night.
Abbot Mortimer pointed at the first rays of sun streaming in through the window.
Yes, but you are back now. And see, you've brought with you a magnificent June summer morning.
The young mouse lay back upon the crisp white pillows. Aside from a bursting headache and the pain in his shoulder, it felt good to be alive.
But what's Basil doing asleep in the next bed?
Oh, him. He says that he has an honourable war wound that requires a lot of food and rest, the old rogue.
That may be, but it would be churlish to begrudge Basil's requests. After all, he did recapture our tapestry from Cluny. It was a very daring deed.
Matthias was delighted.
Martin's tapestry? Back here at the Abbey? How marvellous! I'll bet old Methuselah is over the moon to have it back once more.
There was a moment's silence. The abbot turned to Brother Alf and Cornflower.
Please, would you leave us alone for now? I have something to tell Matthias. You may visit him tomorrow. He still needs a lot of rest.
The two mice nodded understandingly and left. Half an hour later, after unfolding the sad tale of Methuselah, the abbot also took his leave. Matthias turned his face to the wall, bereft of any tears or lamentation after the stresses of the experience he had recently come through. The death of his old and valued friend left a feeling like a large leaden lump inside his chest. He curled up and tried to hide within himself. How long he lay there, racked by grief and misery, he had no way of knowing. But one morning, Basil Staghare awakened and called across.
What ho! Well, bless me medals, if it ain't young Matthias. How are you, laddie-buck?
Matthias replied in a small, sad voice.
Please, Basil, leave me alone. I've lost Methuselah. I don't want to speak to anyone.
Basil hopped nimbly across and perched on Matthias's bed.
There, young fellow, my lad. Don't you think I know how you feel? Good grief, an old campaigner like me. When I think of the chums I lost in bygone battles, good and true friends they were, but I taught myself to keep a stiff upper whisker, you know.
Matthias remained with his back turned upon the hearth.
But you don't understand, Basil.
The soldierly hare snorted. He grabbed Matthias and turned him over so they were face to face.
Don't understand. I'll tell you what I don't understand, young chip. I don't understand how a chappie like yourself, who is supposed to be a great warrior, can lie there moping any longer. You're like an old lady otter who's just lost a fish. If old Methuselah were here now, he'd chuck a jug of water over you and turf you right out of that bed on your fat little head.
Matthias sat up and sniffed.
Do you think so, Basil?
The hare slapped his injured leg, winced and then laughed aloud.
I think so. I know so. Do you imagine that old mouse sacrificed his life so that you could lie about feeling sorry for yourself? Huh. He'd have told you himself. That's not the way of a warrior. Get up, sir. Stir yourself. Make Methuselah proud of you.
Matthias's eyes gleamed with a new determination.
By golly, you're right, Basil. That's exactly what my old friend would have wanted. I'm sorry. You must think I've behaved like a dreadful young fool.
The hare's ears flopped comically as he shook his head.
Not at all, my dear fellow. Think nothing of it. I must confess that I was a bit like you when I was a leveret, you know. Now, what do you say we get about the business of living properly again? I say, I'm positively famished. What about you?
Matthias could not help laughing at the irrepressible hare.
Well, I'm a bit hungry now you come to mention it.
Capital! I could eat a stag, antlers and all. I say, they do a wonderful nosebag for us wounded heroes, you know. Just watch this, my lad.
The hare tinkled a small brass bell on the bedside table. Within seconds, Friar Hugo and Cornflower appeared.
Ah, yes, the catering staff. The other injured warrior here and myself would be greatly obliged for a little sustenance. Nothing too grand, you know, just something for our poor wounded teeth to nibble on. Got to keep body and fur together, what?
Cornflower was pleased to see Matthias looking so much better. She exchanged winks with him and Friar Hugo. The fat friar bowed in a servile manner as he answered the hare.
Very good, Mr. Stag, sir. Two bowls of gruel coming up.
Matthias and Cornflower struggled not to laugh aloud. Basil exploded.
Gruel? What the devil do you mean by gruel? What sort of slop is that to give renowned warriors, eh? We want to be cured, not killed. Now listen to me, you pair of scullery fusiliers. I want a decent brunch. Half a dozen boiled eggs, some crisp summer salad, 2 loaves of hot bread, 2 hazelnut cream junkets, 2... No, better make it 4. Oven-baked apple pies. Oh, and chuck in some of those medium-sized quince tarts, if you see any lying about. But don't stand there with your great jaw flapping. Cut along now, quick as you like.
Cornflower curtsied with mock solemnity. Friar Hugo held up a paw.
You forgot the October nut brown ale, sir.
Basil thumped the bed.
Good Lord, so I did. Just 4 flagons, thank you, my good mouse.
Cornflower and Friar Hugo exited, leaning upon each other, their faces crimson with suppressed laughter.
Strange creatures. Blowed if I can see anything funny about a couple of heroes wanting to be fed so they can stay alive. Takes all kinds to make a world, young fella. Other ranks included.
Later, as they made a hearty meal, Matthias set about pumping the hare for information.
Basil, what's a viper?
A viper? Well, it's an old poison-teeth snake, you know, an adder. Never had a lot of truck with the slimy fellas myself. You'd do best to stay away from them, old chum.
Matthias continued probing the hare's knowledge.
Are there any adders around the Mossflower region, Basil? I mean, if there were, then you'd be the very creature to know about them, being an expert and all that.
Basil puffed out his narrow chest as he absent-mindedly ate one of Matthias's quince tarts.
Adders in Mossflower. Now let me see. No, I don't suppose there are nowadays. There was talk of one a long time back, but I shouldn't think he's around any more. Filthy reptiles, adders. Nothing like stags, you know. Now, what the devil was that adder chap's name? No, I can't remember it for the life of me.
could it be Asmodeus?
Basil Staghair dropped a half-eaten apple pie on the bedside table. He was suddenly very serious.
Asmodeus? Where did you hear that name?
A little bird told me.
Basil retrieved his apple pie. He munched thoughtfully.
Your sparrows, eh? Savage little creatures. No discipline, of course. Darn good fighters, though. But tell me, what do jolly old sparrows know about Asmodeus?
It all has to do with Martin's sword. You see, one of their kings stole the sword from the north point of the vane on the abbey roof. That was many years ago. From there, the sword has been passed down through sparrow kings until it came into the claws of the late King Bull Sparrow.
Not the silly ass who managed to get himself drowned yesterday,
said Basil through a mouthful of hazelnut junket.
The same one. But to cut a long story short, the adder stole the sword from him. That's why I want to know about Asmodeus, you see.
Play with fire, you'll get yourself burned.
Matthias knew Basil could be manipulated. He was insistent.
Oh, please, Basil. You must tell me all you know. It was Methuselah's life work trying to find that sword. I must continue for his sake.
The hare gnawed thoughtfully on some bread and salad.
Well, if you put it that way, young fella, anything I can do to help, I will. You'll need a good guide.
Matthias interrupted.
I must find the sword by myself, Basil. Just tell me all you know about the adder called Asmodeus.
The hare lay back on his bed. He took a long draught of October ale before answering.
Quite frankly, old chap, I know nothing about the bally snake. I thought the blighter had died years ago.
Matthias groaned aloud, but Basil cut him short.
Mind you, having said that, I think I have a pretty fair idea who will know. Listen, if you strike out northeast across Mossflower Wood, you'll find a deserted farmhouse beyond the far edge. Now, the chap you want to see is a whopping great snowy owl that patrols between the fringes of the wood and the old sandstone quarry. His name is Captain Snow. Bear in mind, though, he'll eat you on sight if he gets the chance. Military bird, but a real bounder.
Then how do I get to talk with him?
Temper, temper, my lad.
Basil chuckled. Reaching down to his bedside locker, he dug out his dress tunic. It was covered in medals and decorations from 100 campaigns. The hare selected a medal. Detaching it from the jacket, he tossed it across to Matthias.
Here, catch. That's a medal, don't you know? Captain Snow gave it to me for saving his life.
You saved the owl's life?
I should say I did.
Basil laughed at the memory.
Feathery old fool went to sleep in a rotten dead tree. It got blown down in a gale and trapped the blighter underneath. He'd have died if I hadn't come along, dug under the thing and pulled him out. Popped out like a shuttlecock under a door. Fellow officer, you understand. Couldn't leave him there to get flattened. His face is flat enough as it is.
So all I do is show him this medal.
Basil laughed at his friend's naivety.
Yes, that's all. But if you don't want to be scoffed, make sure he sees the medal before he sees you. Tell the old buffer that Basil Staghair sent you. And mind your manners. Make sure you call him by his proper rank, Captain. Oh, and I'd like that medal back sometime. Spoils the look of my number one dress tunic missing decoration.
Matthias studied the medal. It was a silver cross embellished with a spread-winged owl. The ribbon was of faded white silk. Though it was old, it shone bright in the sunlight.
Thank you, Basil. I'll see you get it back. Is there anything else I should know?
Not much. Just remember what I've said, old chap. This Captain Snow is a night hunter, by the way. He probably sleeps in some old tree all day with one eye open. You'll mark my words, laddie. Old Snow doesn't miss a thing. He knows all the creatures in his territory, where they live, what trails they use, and so on. Ha! They don't call owls wise for nothing. Bit of a duffer all the same, letting a tree fall on him. Keep your eye on him, though. If he catches you napping, he'll chomp you up, medal and all.
Basil finished his ale and yawned.
Now get some sleep, Matthias. I'm fagged out after that snack. My old honourable war wound is beginning to play me up. I must have a bit of a snooze.
With that, Basil closed his eyes. He was soon snoring gently. Matthias realised there was no more to be said, so he decided to have a rest too. Basil Staghare, what an amazing old campaigner, the young mouse thought, as he drifted off to sleep. Shortly after 12 o'clock, Matthias awakened. The noontime sunlight flooded the room. Basil was flat on his back, snoring stentoriously. Although his shoulder still throbbed, Matthias felt fit and refreshed, well enough to travel. He knew, however, that he must act with stealth and secrecy. If the abbot or Cornflower or any of his friends knew of his scheme, he would have no chance at all. They would make certain he was confined to bed until further notice. Quietly, he arose and dressed himself, hanging his sandals around his neck by the thongs. Taking a clean pillow slip, he stocked it with the remainder of the food from the table. Someone had thoughtfully placed his dagger in the bedside locker. It must have been found on the floor of Great Hall. Searching around, Matthias came upon a good stout pole, probably used as a window or curtain opener. He decided it would come in handy. Carefully, he inched the door open, closing it again swiftly as the abbot and Brother Alf padded by. Matthias listened to Alf's voice.
I looked in on them about 10 minutes ago, Father. They're both sleeping like hibernating squirrels. It's not likely that they'll wake until evening.
The footsteps receded down the passage. Matthias crept from the room and stole off in the opposite direction. He was surprised at the ease with which he left the abbey, slipping off into Mossflower through the side door in the wall, where, unknown to him, Methuselah's murderer had also passed on the previous day. Alone in the woods, Matthias felt a bit wobbly upon his legs. He sat down against a beech tree until the feeling passed. Tying the pillowcase bundle to his pole, he hefted it across his good shoulder and struck off boldly through Mossflower towards the northeast. Chapter 22. Matthias judged by the sun that it was past mid-afternoon. He had made steady progress through the woods. Nothing untoward had occurred. He had stopped and had a light snack, gained his second wind, and pressed forward, taking care not to create too much noise, lest he disturb any predators. The young mouse had discovered a path of sorts, skirting the dense underbrush and avoiding patches of marshland. Always keeping the tree moss on his left, he continued eastwards. Matthias pinned the medal to his habit, telling himself that he might stumble into Captain Snow's territory at any moment. Lulled by the warm sun, cool shade and bird song, he trekked onwards, thinking of nothing in particular, and enjoying the sense of freedom amid so much beauty. Seemingly, from out of nowhere, a mouse leaped, barring Matthias's path. He halted, sizing the strange mouse up. It was an odd-looking wild thing. Matthias was not even too sure it really was a mouse. The creature had spiky fur, which stuck out at odd angles all over. Around its brow was bound a brightly coloured scarf. The stranger was fully a head shorter than Matthias. It stood defiantly, blocking his way, glaring at him with the maddest-looking eyes he had ever encountered. Matthias smiled politely and addressed the odd mouse.
Hello there. Beautiful afternoon, isn't it?
Never mind that nonsense. Who are you? Why are you trespassing on shrew land?
Matthias paused. So this was what a shrew looked like. He had never seen one before, but he had been told of their bad tempers. The young mouse decided to fight fire with fire. No point in being good-mannered with this little hooligan. He snarled in what he hoped was an aggressive manner.
Never mind who I am. Who do you think you are, you little raghead?
The shrew seemed uncertain for a moment. Then she stormed back in a low, gruff voice.
I am Gauzim, and you still haven't told me what you want in shrew territory.
Gauzim? What sort of name is that? And anyhow, if you don't want creatures coming across your land, then you should put signs up. As far as I'm concerned, Mossflower has always been free to all.
Except this part. Don't you know anything? Gauzim stands for Guerrilla Union of Shrews in Mossflower.
Matthias laughed scornfully.
I couldn't care less what it stands for. Make way for a Redwall Abbey warrior. I'm coming through.
Immediately, Matthias took a step forward. Gauzim stuck her paws between her lips and emitted a sharp whistle. There was a swift rustle in the undergrowth. Matthias found himself surrounded by at least 50 shrews. They packed around him, creating an angry hubbub in their deep, rough tones. All of them wore coloured headbands, all carried short, rapier-like swords. Gauzam had difficulty in calling them to order.
Comrades, tell this mouse what happens to a trespasser!
The replies that came back were varied.
Break his paws!
Skin him alive!
Chop off his nose!
Hang him by the tail!
Stuff his whiskers down his ears!
A stern-looking old shrew barged Gauzam out of the way and whistled sharply. He produced a round black pebble and held it up.
Any comrade who wants to speak must hold a pebble, otherwise shut up!
Complete silence fell. He handed the pebble to Matthias.
Now, explain yourself, Mouse.
There were one or two murmurs of dissent that a stranger who was not a shrew should have first say. The old shrew danced with rage.
Will you not shut up? The mouse has the stone.
Silence fell once more. Matthias cleared his throat.
Guerrilla Union of Shrews and Mossflower, forgive me. As you see, I am a stranger in these parts. I do not intentionally trespass on your land. Had I known, I would have taken a different route. You have probably noticed by my habit that I come from Redwall Abbey. Though I am a warrior, we are a healing and helping order. It is usual for all creatures to allow a Redwall mouse to pass in peace. This is the unwritten law.
The older shrew, whose name was Logalog, took the pebble from Matthias and addressed the others.
Right, comrades. Now we know a bit more about things. Let's have a show of paws. All those in favour of letting the mouse go free.
Paws went up. Logalog counted them. Exactly half of those present. He called for those against and took another count.
Half one way, half the other. The casting vote is mine. Now let me tell you. I know we take care of our own, but the Redwall mice are a legend in Mossflower. They do no harm to any creature. In fact, they do a lot of good.
Logalog raised his paw.
Therefore, comrades, I vote that the mouse goes free.
There followed an equal number of cheers and boos. A squabble ensued and fighting broke out. Gauzim snatched the stone from Logalog and waved it about.
Listen to me! I know that Logalog is a wise elder, but I am president of our union, comrades. The mouse hasn't told us where he's going.
There was a brief silence. Another shrew snatched hold of the stone.
Aye, that's right. Where are you off to, mouse?
The stone was thrust at Matthias.
I'll tell you, but my name is not Mouse. It's Matthias. Redwall Abbey is in danger from Clooney the Scourge and his horde.
There was immediate shouting and gruff oaths. Matthias knew the drill. It was surprising how the stoneholder could gain quiet among such a noisy, quarrelsome gathering. Matthias continued.
As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, we at Redwall are under attack by Clooney and his horde. Evidently you've heard his name before. Well, I believe that I have the solution to Clooney. It is an ancient sword that once belonged to a great mouse named Martin the Warrior. To find the sword, I must ask Captain Snow the whereabouts of Asmodeus.
The shrews made a frenzied rush into the undergrowth. Matthias found he was standing alone. After a few minutes, Logalog and Gauzam ventured stealthily out again. Forgetting the stone, Gauzam spoke in an awed voice.
Do you mean you actually intend to walk right up and speak to Snow?
Matthias nodded. Logalog continued where his comrade had left off.
You're going to ask the captain where you can find giant poison teeth, Mouse. Matthias. You are either very brave or raving mad.
A little bit of both, I suppose. Do you know much about Captain Snow and Asmodeus?
Both shrews trembled visibly. Gauzam's voice had risen an octave.
Matthias, you must be crazy. Don't you know what you're walking into? Captain Snow, why, you'd just be a snack to him. And as for the other one, Giant Ice Eyes, who could even go near him? He eats as many shrews as he wants. No living creature can stop the poison teeth.
A heart-rending moan arose from the shrews in the undergrowth. Matthias still had the stone. He held it up and addressed them boldly.
Guerrilla shrew comrades, I do not ask you to do my fighting. Merely point me in the direction of Captain Snow. Who knows? If I finally get the sword, I may be able to liberate you.
Logalog took the stone.
Matthias of Redwall, you are on our land. We will escort you. The guerrilla union of shrews and Mossflower would never live down the shame of having a stranger fight their battles for them. You may not always see us, but we will be close by. Come now.
Matthias moved northeastwards with the company of shrews, whose numbers seemed to swell as they went along. At nightfall, there were upwards of 400 members of the Shrew Union seated around the campfire, breaking bread with the warrior from Redwall. That night, Matthias slept inside a long hollow log, with both ends disguised to make it appear solid. Like Basil, the shrews were masters of camouflage. Their very survival depended upon it. Half an hour before dawn, the young mouse was roused by a shrew, who gave him an acorn cup full of sweet berry juice, a loaf of rough nut bread, and some tasty fresh roots that he could not identify. By dawn's first light, they were on the move again, marching until mid-morning. Matthias saw the edge of Mossflower Wood. The tall trees thinned out. Bush and undergrowth were sparse. Before them lay an open field of long, lush grass, dotted with buttercup and sorrel. In the distance, he could see the abandoned farmhouse that Basil had spoken of. All the shrews had disappeared, with the exception of Gausam and Logalog. The latter pointed to the barn adjoining the farmhouse.
You might find Captain Snow in there, taking a nap. Now is the best time to approach him, after he has a full stomach from the night hunt.
The two gorilla shrews melted back into the woods. Alone now, Matthias crossed the sunny field leading to the barn, just as Basil had taught him. Zigzag, crouch, wriggle, and weave. He tiptoed into the barn. There was no sign of an owl. In the semi-darkness, Matthias could make out various old farming implements, rusted with disuse. On one wall, there was a huge stack of musty, dry straw bales. He decided to climb up the bales in the hope of getting near Captain Snow, who most probably would be sleeping perched in the rafters. Matthias scaled the packed straw. He stood on top and looked about. Nothing. He ventured forwards and suddenly slipped and fell down a hidden gap between the bales. Scrambling and clutching, he plunged down to the floor. Matthias's feet never touched the earth. He landed clean in the gaping mouth of a huge marmalade cat.
Chapter 23.
Constance stood on the parapet overlooking the road. Dawn was breaking behind her in the east. However, more important things troubled the badger's mind. The abbot came bustling up with Basil limping in the rear. Both creatures looked extremely concerned.
"Have you seen Matthias?"
the abbot asked.
"He's been missing from his room since yesterday afternoon."
Basil looked rather shamefaced.
"All my fault, I'm afraid. Should have kept my eye on the little rascal. We'll have to organise another search party."
"No time for that,"
snapped the badger.
"Look!"
Down the road in the distance, a long column of dust was rising. The three creatures sniffed the faint breeze. It was unmistakable. Clooney's army was coming to Redwall.
"We'll need every available defender. No need to cause a panic, but this looks like a full-scale assault. The fox's warning was true."
Jess, Winifred, Formal and Ambrose were sent for. Together they leaned over the parapet, watching the dust cloud draw nearer. The beat of a drum was audible, and individual rats could be picked out.
"They're heading right for us,"
said Jess grimly.
"Better get all defenders to battle stations."
At a given signal, John Churchmouth began tolling the attack warning upon the Joseph Bell. All through the abbey and its grounds, creatures stopped what they were doing. Picking up weapons that lay close to paw, they assembled at their appointed posts to await further orders.